what is your advice to the people, to the PKs who do feel pressure, even just believers in general who feel pressure. So much pressure, and also to the people who like put pressure and put unrealistic expectations?
I'll advise the PKs. You advise the people who put pressure.
Okay.
Okay. And this will be the last thing we do. My advice. You've been here all along. You've been here all along. You've been here all along. What's going on, YouTube? I'm Chris.
I'm Charles.
This is the Preacher's Kids podcast, episode one, the pilot, introduction, whatever you want to call it. This is it. Me and DC came up with this about what? A month ago. Yeah, came up with this idea about a month ago just to, you know, give our perspective on life, the Word of God, of course, and then, you know, whatever is going on in the world just from our point of view as preacher's kids. Yeah. And I think this is going to be nice.
So, I'm excited, bro.
Yeah. Welcome to an inside look at all our FaceTime calls every week.
Facts.
So we're going to get right into the first topic, bro. Just talk about, like, growing up in church, what that experience was like for you.
Growing up in church, bro. For me, bro, it's just church 24/7.
Yeah.
I just stayed in church, bro. Bro, when I grew up, bro, we had revivals.
Yeah.
We had shut-ins.
Yeah.
On Sundays, we had second and third services.
Yeah.
We had one at 9, one at 11, and we might have one at 4 o'clock. So, yeah, bro, we was just in church.
Yeah.
A lot of church.
Bro. Yeah.
What about you, bro?
Same thing, bro. Like, 6 days a week, you in church, bro.
6 days.
6 days a week, fam. And, like, and that's if you're, like, lucky, because it might be 7 some weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like, even now to this day, still Tuesday Bible study, Thursday prayer service. And then, like you said, 3 or 4 services on Sunday.
Yeah.
So we still got Sunday school, regular service. And then, but back in the younger days, we had choir rehearsal. So you was there on Wednesday, and then Saturday you had the church cleaning up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bro, just in church all the time, literally. And then, did you ever teach Sunday school?
You know what, bro? I did teach Sunday school. So we did it like this. And you know, I enjoy teaching Sunday school too. To all the Sunday school haters, I had fun teaching Sunday school. I felt like somebody. Yeah. And bro, listen. Because the way we did it was, if you, like, my grandmother, which was a Sunday school teacher, mm-hmm. she would pick one of us every once in a while to teach Sunday school.
Like, okay, so the adults and the kids in your Sunday school were all in the same?
No.
Oh, so she would just pick, like, you to teach the kids class?
Yeah. Oh, no, I never taught the adults, bro.
Oh, nah, heck nah. I ain't ready for all that glory. Heck nah.
No, yeah. I would have been messing them all up.
Yeah. So y'all used to alternate?
Yeah. Well, my grandma, she would do it most of the time, but every once in a while, she let one of us do it.
Dang, bro. I ain't gonna lie. I taught Sunday school for a solid, like, 2 years. Yeah. And I was the Sunday school secretary.
Does that make it, have you preached yet?
Nah.
Wow.
You know, I ain't gonna lie. I'm the preacher's kid that be denying his calling all the time. Cause you know, like, growing up, you're like, especially when you do music, which we'll get to later, but, like, you just, like, want to be a musician. Yeah, like, because your dad's already a preacher, or your mom or whoever, they already preaching. You like, nah, bro, you know, that's them. I'm going to just stay in the back, you know, try to do the music. And then you hear it all the time. What up, little bishop? Like, look. Nah.
Bro, I'm in church, bro. They're calling me Prophet Junior. Prophet Junior, bro. Like, bro, so listen. I was in church a few weeks ago, and I taught the message. I brought the message.
Yeah.
And my dad, he came up and he was all like, man, what a word from the prophet. And then he was like, from Charles, he was like, you know what? He is a prophet. I'm going to call him a prophet. And then, bro, after this dude came up to me, he was like, hey, Charles, hey, prophet, wait, what do you want me to call you? I was like, nah, man, you can call me Charles.
Yeah.
He was like, I got you, prophet. Yeah. I was like, yo, I'm like, I literally just told you. And I was like, whatever, bro, because you know what? I'm not big on titles, bro.
Nah, facts.
How do you feel about that?
Bruh, like, okay, so It's funny because somebody was just I think it was my apostle up in Tallahassee. Shout out Apostle Stewart. I think he was just talking about like titles. Or no, it was Bishop McCargo. We just came from Holy Assembly and he was talking about like the titles in the church, the deacons, the whatchacallit. And he was like, bro, bump the titles. How about people just be glory carriers? And I'm like, man. Because, you know, because some people like, especially when you get into like the bigger churches, then more people start getting more degrees. So now, you know, people are getting ordained as bishops. No offense to any people out, but some of these titles be like a little crazy to me, at least.
Bro, I think people do it because they want validation. Bro.
Yeah, like what is a associate chief prelate? Or you know what I'm saying? Like I'm just making stuff up, but it'd be like people be having like these dragged out titles.
Supreme apostle.
Yeah. And I'd be like, bro, can you preach? You know what I'm
saying? Do you know your word?
Like, can you preach? Have you read the Bible all the way through yet?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And that's not me like judging, it's just me questioning it. Cause like one thing I thank God for is like a strong spirit of discernment. And I know when something ain't right.
Yeah.
And it's like, but to answer your question, I don't really care about titles.
Jesus came to serve, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus came to serve, and he was God.
And had no, bro, so when he was born, you know, and even the prophets, you know, prophesied he was going to be kings of kings, lords of lords. But when he actually came on earth, bro, besides the people who followed him, titling him as the Messiah, like the other people, did he really have like any other, he was so godly, he didn't have like an earthly title. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he didn't need one.
Well, when you know your worth.
Right. The title doesn't
matter. It doesn't matter.
Plus, I know some people with no titles that can preach a whole lot better than, never mind.
Yeah, bro, when you know your worth, it doesn't matter. And I think part of that is finding your identity in the Father.
Facts.
And I know we're going all over the place, but this is getting good. And I say that because Jesus was affirmed by God the Father.
Yep.
He said, this is my son whom I'm well pleased.
Yep.
When you know your identity in Jesus, then it doesn't matter the titles. And I think that for me, that's the number one way I can tell if someone is, if the title that they go by is authentic, mm-hmm. if they don't care about it.
Yeah.
Number one, like a shepherd should be a servant.
Yeah, first.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
If you're a pastor, you should have a servant's heart first. If you're a worship leader, you need to have a servant's heart first.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And why? Because like Jesus is our blueprint. Jesus was washing feet. And a lot of these people who have these titles, they're not willing to get down and wash feet.
Wash feet. That's a fact.
So it's just like
that ain't.
Yes, bro.
No cap. Cause that's real. Like, bro, in any capacity, but especially in the church, bro, leaders are starting to get like too arrogant.
Very.
Or like too like uppity, almost bougie. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's like, bro, you lead us, but at the end of the day, like you still supposed to serve your people. Like, you're right, bro. That's deep. But dang, we just went so far away.
Yeah.
In an instant.
Holy cow, this is gonna be a good podcast.
Back to your original point though, bro. Cause like so me, I didn't want to be a preacher at all. Like I've accepted it now. Like I'll be a preacher. I'll preach at some point. But it's funny because every time I used to deny it, like even when I can have a regular conversation, I'll catch myself just sound like I'm preaching a little bit. I'd be like, whoa, brother. You know what I'm saying? Like I'd just be talking to people like, yeah, like just saying something encouraging to somebody. Or like I'm typing a motivational text message to somebody and I'm quoting scriptures and I'm like, hold on, cause you. But some things are really just in you. You know what I'm saying? Like some people are really born with it, and we obviously were born with it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, bro. I think my dad might have prayed for it on the low end, didn't tell me.
Definitely. I think that's every preacher's prayer, is that Lord, you would, if you're gonna choose anyone, if I have a say of who it is to take this mantle, when my time is up, let it be my child.
But it's important that, you know, that's why I'm a big believer in the Bible says be fruitful and multiply. But I'm really like truthfully like, because at the end of the day, you're not going to be on the earth forever.
Succession, legacy,
you got to leave a legacy, bro.
Yes,
got to leave a legacy.
And that's what a lot of, and listen, we're not trying to be offensive. We're just being honest and open. Yeah. That's what a lot of the pastors, the older pastors, that's what they lack. The heart for succession mm-hmm. and the heart for legacy. Like, they want to, like, they don't want to.
Yeah, they you get what I'm saying? They just want to keep all the glory for themselves.
Yeah, like I think a part of it is, like, knowing that, like Moses couldn't go into the promised land, bro.
Yep. Facts.
Moses couldn't go into the promised land. He didn't have the capacity. How do I know he didn't have the capacity? It's because it got to a point where it was like, I believe there was a point where the people would frustrate Moses, but he could still stand firm mm-hmm. in obedience to Christ. But it got to the point where the people were frustrating him so bad, annoying him, give us water, that it got to the point that
he disobeyed God's commandment.
He couldn't be obedient anymore. Because he was older and he just didn't have capacity.
And that's crazy. Hallelujah. And that's crazy. The Bible says Moses died at full strength. Imagine walking with God for so long, but you get frustrated by other people's like opinions or just frustrations that you get to the point where you forgot who was leading you this whole time.
Yeah, but capacity, I think that's like another thing, even with these leaders who don't have the heart of succession and legacy, is they think because they can still jog two miles at 70 years old, then no, like capacity is not contingent upon physical ability,
right?
Physical capability, but capacity is contingent upon, can I still be obedient to Christ, even in the midst of chaos, even when people are annoying me? And Moses didn't have capacity anymore. So God had prepared Joshua. And I think that's where a lot of leaders these days are messing up. Like they don't see us fit. First off, you're not God. So who are you to say
that's the first one.
That we're not fit? Bro, I was reading Jeremiah, and Jeremiah 1, God says, he was basically saying, like, you're young, but that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You're still called.
Right.
You're like, you're in your youth, but you're still called. And I think a lot of older pastors and leaders, that's the part that's the heart of God that they lack.
Well, that wasn't our first segment at all.
We are everywhere.
That went left pretty quick, but it went right. So
hallelujah.
If I will give a disclaimer, if you're going to watch this podcast, you got to read your Bible, because we're going to make a lot of Bible references.
Yes.
Just because it's the good book. So back to the original episode that we had planned. Growing up musically. So
yes.
This guy here, he just dropped a single.
Go get Incredible.
Album coming soon.
Single. Incredible by Charles Williams. Out everywhere.
Great record.
Appreciate that.
Very, very talented guy. So talk about like your musical background, like what that was like how you grew into that.
My dad can sing. He could play keys. Obviously, I think he probably started off as a drummer.
Yeah.
So yeah. My grandfather could play pops. Mm-hmm. He could play guitar. Pops could sing his face off, bro.
Yeah.
You should hear him sing Al Green. I'm so in love with you.
I still got that video of when he sung the Gigi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Yeah.
Pops could sing his face off. My dad can sing his face off.
Yeah.
On Gigi's side, which is my grandmother, her father was in a gospel group. So bro, music is everywhere, bro. I have a cousin who's been Grammy nominated, worked with everybody, bro. So I mean, I'm just surrounded by musical gifts and musical talent. And I mean, my part of it is, bro, I didn't get the keys or the guitar or the drums, bro, unfortunately. I just got the vocals.
Not yet, at least.
Yeah, not on the yet, way. But that drum set is coming. The next time y'all see a podcast, next few times, it'll probably be a drum set over there. And you know that it's getting serious. Anyways, yeah, bro, just vocals. But I would say that my musical gift that is very underrated, that I consider to be the biggest prize to me, is my pen. Being able to take life experiences and turn them into beautiful melodies. I think that's something my dad can write. And I think Pops used to write songs too. Mm. But yeah, bro, I would say my pen game is the best. And I could sing pretty decent too, but that pen, bro, is pretty strong. I grew up going to the studio. I went to the studio for the first time when I was 8 years old, bro. I remember I still have the song. One day I'll play it on the podcast. I remember going to lunch, coming straight from the studio. And it's like, I'm 8 years old. Well, probably like 10 or 11. I'm in fifth grade. And I'm just at the lunch table. Yo, like, yo, listen to this song I just recorded in the studio. Yeah, bro. So that's me, bro. What about you?
Yeah. So it's all my dad. My dad has all the musical genes.
Yeah.
So when my dad, when he came from the Bahamas, he taught himself how to play guitar. So he taught himself electric, acoustic, steel, Hawaiian, lap guitar. And then his whole first set of kids, bro, everybody did something, bro. So everybody could sing. Everybody could sing. And then my oldest brother, Junior, killer organist. His son, my nep, OP, shout out OP, killer drummer. Then you got my sister. They call her the gospel queen of Gifford, bro. I went back and looked at it, bro. That's crazy.
That's wild.
She can sing, but she sang great. She toured. She did stuff with Tyler Perry.
Yes, that's wild.
My brother Tim, he was the drum major at FAMU.
Okay.
And then Nathan, he plays. And then it came to me. I started out on drums. They bought me my first drum set. I was 1 year old. Started out on drums. And then, bro, you know, it's funny. Me and my homeboy was just talking about this the other day. I, like, when you was growing up, it was so many drummers in church, bro. It was so hard to get on, bro. Like, I had two drummers ahead of me. They were both brothers. So one graduated high school and left, but then his brother hopped on. I didn't start playing drums in church till I was, like, 7 or 8.
Mm.
And then, well, I played in church, but I wasn't, like, the church's drummer till I was, like, 7 or 8. And then I was, like, 8, 9, then my dad put me in piano lessons for 2 years. I hated that because I was like, I want to play drums. Like, I'm not, no. So did that for 2 years, forgot everything I learned. Well, I forgot how to read music. But thankfully, the Lord allowed me to, you know, keep, like, remembrance of what key was which. So I picked keys back up. I was like 14, 15,
mm-hmm.
really the organ. Because, yeah. You know, my church old school. We ain't got no keyboard. We got a Hammond B3 and a Leslie. So... I picked up organ like 14, 15, and yeah, bro, I picked up keys again within the past couple of years, bro. People don't know, bro, organ and keys two completely different, like
very different.
They're the same keys, but
approach,
like, approach is so different, bro. It's so different. And but yeah, I picked keys back up, so that's what I'm on right now. I just got done playing for FAMU gospel choir while I was at FAM, and yeah, bro, that's where I'm at with it.
He's nasty on drums.
Nah, I wouldn't say nasty. You, I wouldn't say nasty. I'm nice. But yeah, so then really the last segment, which is the meat of this podcast, bro, just expectations as a preacher's kid. I'm sure all my preacher's kids out there, y'all know exactly what we're talking about already, and you probably just let out a very big sigh. Like, just talk about, like, growing up, that just that weight of walking around, and you're the preacher. I was a bishop's kid, which made me a little bit more amplified. Not that, you know, but I'm saying I'm really a BK. But just talk about, like, you know, growing up with those expectations. Like, how did you move? Like, what was that like?
Okay, so little disclaimer. I wasn't a PK kid my whole life. I'm just recently a PK because my dad became the pastor about 2-3 years ago. But my grandparents on both sides were the pastors. And I lived with my grandparents when I was living with my mom, we lived with my grandparents. And when I was living with my dad, we lived with my grandparents. So I was in the house with the pastors. And yeah, so I really felt like a PK. Mm-hmm. We live in a small town. So everybody knows everybody. But all right, so let's talk about the pressure of being a PK. I was thinking about this heavy the other day, bro, because my mom called me Monday, bro. It's Wednesday right now. My mom called me Monday, and she was just like, hey, I just want to encourage you and tell you that, like, don't forget to be human and don't forget to live life. And that was just such a sobering reminder, bro. And I think because I told her, I was like, I'm not gonna be honest, like, that feels good that someone will remind me of that, because sometimes I feel like I have to live up to these expectations of other people to be perfect. And don't get me wrong, we're going to talk about this later in another episode. Like, there is very much a standard of holiness, and grace is the empowerment to live holy. It's not a ticket to go sin however much you want, but it's the empowerment to live holy. But at the same time, I'm human, bro.
Yeah.
And I think it's more so like, I don't want to live this life walking on eggshells. Well,
yes, exactly.
Being afraid to do things that aren't sin, things that I'm not convicted about, that are fun to me.
Yeah.
Like, let me live my life without the eyes of everybody on me, just because my father is a preacher, just because my grandfather is a pastor. How about this? We're all children of God. Mm-hmm. So stop giving me these expectations to live holy. How about all of us have to live by the standard of holiness?
Right.
Because who our father is. My earthly father is Charles Derrick Williams Jr., but my heavenly father is God. And we all have the same father. So all of us need to live to the standard of holiness. I think that should be an expectation and a standard for the body of Christ in totality and as a whole. So just growing up, bro, just having to feel like I had to walk on eggshells, and just knowing that people are watching me, and just the pressure of that, bro, is especially for kids. Like, you got to be careful putting that much pressure on kids. This is why a lot of people stray away from the church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not good. It's not.
It's
God.
Unfortunate, but it's real.
Yes. And then, like, a lot of people start blaming God for that, but no, it's not God. It's just the way people.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy. Most of them. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
But like, I'm sure you experienced that too. Most of these heightened expectations are coming from the church people.
Yes.
Like, it's like the people that don't go to church, like all their parents, or the kids that don't go, all their parents that aren't in church, they don't place these most of the time, they don't place these heavy expectations on us. And they know that we're preacher's kids.
Yeah.
But it's the people in the church that are like, strict is the word, maybe, or like, yeah, I'd say like more strict just in how they perceive you to be. Like, it's almost like you gotta be a certain way, and if you don't end up being like, you could still be good, but if you don't end up being that certain way, then you still failed.
Well, church people who do that, I question if they really have a relationship
with God,
with Jesus.
Yep. Not even because, well, first, to know God, you have to love him too.
Yes.
And that's the one thing that has to be displayed and isn't being displayed enough in church, which is another reason why people, but that's a whole nother. Mm-hmm. But church folks, you know, they get so religious that they become ungodly. And it's like, you have to learn, God is love. So to know God, you have to learn how to love. And then on top of that, you have to show your love to other people so people can know who God is. Your love is supposed to be so pure and strong and genuine that other people are supposed to, like, how can I obtain this? Or how can I receive it? Or how can I give it out? Because some people don't learn how to love either. But to learn how to give out proper love, you first have to love God. And that's the issue. And I think for me growing up, I did experience it from some, but like most of the time, bro, it was just like I said, heightened expectations to do everything right. Right. I don't know why I just said white. Right. Now, granted, I was blessed growing up to, like, God gave me certain talents and abilities where I was just able to actually live up to some of the standards. Like, I got good grades in school, thank God. I was good in sports, thank God. I was already playing music in church. I didn't get in too much trouble. But even, that's another thing, like the little trouble that I did get in, it was like I committed the worst in the world. Like, I remember one time, second grade, I don't know how other people feel about this, but like talking in class as a kid why do you get in so much trouble? Like, I understand, like, you know, there's order, you know, you're supposed to listen to the teacher, do what she says. I'm 6-7 years old. I'm trying to tell you about what happened at lunch. But you know what I'm saying? Like, attention, like, and this is where we get into these false things that, oh, these kids have ADHD and all this other stuff. These kids ain't got no issues. They just kids. Like, they're acting like how kids supposed to act. So, but that's my bad. I just went off on a tangent. But, like, even like, the small stuff I used to get in trouble for, bro, it was just like, oh, you're not supposed to be in no trouble at school.
You're talking to class. Kid. You're going to hell.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is, because this is my thing. I think people need to ask themselves, church people need to ask themselves, before I put these unrealistic expectations on other people, can I live to these expectations my own self?
Facts. And then on top of that, can I live to these? And then are my kids living up to the same? Because other church people will condemn you because you're a preacher's kid, but they kids out there doing worse stuff than you are. Yes. And it's like, but like you said, I'm with the, how about we all just live holy? How about we all just love one another? How about nobody place expectations on nobody else and just pray? Because prayer will change a lot more things than you complaining about. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just all pray salvation for the whole world. Because if the whole world gets saved, then we ain't got to worry about nobody doing anything. You know what I'm saying? Because in that case, everybody gonna make it to heaven. But until then, get on your knees and pray about it.
And I want to go back to something I said earlier, bro, about the church people who are so quick to judge, like PKs and just judge people in general. Mm-hmm. When I said I question their relationship with Jesus. And I'm not trying to be rude, and I'm not trying to be mean. So please hear me clear. All I'm saying is that when you spend time with the Father, your mind is transformed. Yeah. The Bible says, don't conform to the patterns of the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yep.
So our thought patterns are changed, and the lens and the perspective that we take on is different. We start to see people through the lens of Jesus. We start to have compassion for people. So a lot of people are so quick to judge, and they lack compassion, and they go around saying, I serve Jesus. What Jesus are you serving? Because the Jesus that David said this in Psalms, he said, if I made my bed in hell, man, I feel the spirit. If I made my bed in hell, like, come on, like, he'll still come get me. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have the same compassion for other believers, what Jesus are you serving?
You know the issue with that is?
Yeah.
They think they serve Jesus, but they only serve him on Sunday. You have to take religion. You go to church, but you have to take the church back with you the other 6 days of the week.
Not like getting your word.
Yes, go pray. Read, go pray. Because Sunday will feed you. I'm not saying don't go to church and stay home the other 6 days and getting your, I'm saying church is good. That sets you off for the week.
And for the person that just said, oh, well, I read my Bible every day. The Pharisees read their Bible every day. But why are you reading your Bible? You have to read your Bible to know Jesus, spend time with Jesus. People are reading their Bibles.
Bro, Satan knows the Bible.
Yes.
Front and back.
And people are reading their Bibles for knowledge.
Yeah.
Just so they can say, I know more than you.
Yep.
And that's where the Pharisees went wrong, bro.
Yep.
Like, come on, bro. Like, I don't know, bro. It's just, spend time with Jesus. I think our prayer should be like, Lord, like, have your way in my life.
Yeah, facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Facts. I told you earlier, that was like at the beginning of the, you get so caught up and, you know, you want to be successful and you want all these things to go right in your life. But I had to change my prayer at the beginning of the year. God convicted me. And I started praying since January. Lord, your will be done. Because
nasty.
As long as you pray, his will be done. As long as his will is done, you'll have no worries.
That's how Jesus told us to pray.
But hey,
thy kingdom come,
thy will be done. And that's it. And as long as his will is done in your life, bro, you have nothing to worry about.
Remember when we were talking in my driveway and I told you that quote? And the quote where it says, a lot of people ask God to bless what they're doing, but nobody wants to do what God is blessing.
Yeah.
Bro, that changed my freaking life.
Yeah,
we're all over the place. Let's stop, bro.
Yeah, this is good.
We have so many. We're jumping into a lot of topics.
Yeah, I think we're at a good space. But Yeah, I mean, I hope we give y'all, you know, enough to ponder about. But this was only
supposed to be an intro, bro.
Yeah. What would be, so we kind of talked about like the religious people and judging stuff, but like we didn't really give a solution. Like what is your advice to the people, to the PKs who do feel pressure, even just believers in general who feel pressure. So much pressure, and also to the people who like put pressure and put unrealistic expectations.
I'll advise the PKs. You advise the people who put pressure.
Okay.
Okay. And this will be the last thing we do. My advice, PKs who feel like, you know, you have to do everything right. Remember, God's grace is sufficient, but don't use it as an excuse to abuse it. What am I saying? You should still live holy. You should still chase after God in everything, but allow God's grace to be used. Yes, you will make mistakes. Don't shoot yourself in the foot for it. I'm using that metaphorically because, you know, YouTube likes to tag. Don't shoot yourself in the foot for it. Like, don't trip about it. And never, never pattern your life after other people's expectations. Mm. If you get in a place where you talk to God every day, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you just seek God's face, everything will literally fall into the place it's supposed to fall in. Don't seek success from what others people view of success is.
Amen.
Get in your room with God so you can hear from him and shade all the other people out. Because even like your parents can get in the way. And I'm not just talking to PKs now. I'm talking to any believer, any young believer or anybody. Your parents can get in the way of God's will. I'm not saying they will, but they can. Your friends can, your family can. You have to get to a point where I will let nothing separate me from the love of God. You actually have to get to that point. And yeah, but that's my advice.
My advice to you Pharisees and Sadducees, I'm just kidding, is just to remember what God brought you from. Just remember what God brought you from. Remember the process that you had to go through. Remember the process that you're going through. I want to remind you that none of us are perfect. And if you think you are, you still aren't. If you think you are, that just means that you're dealing with the pride issue. So just remember that until we see Jesus, the Bible says when we see him, we'll be like him. Mm. So until we see him, we won't be completely like him. And don't get me wrong, there is grace to empower us to live holy. But you'd be lying to yourself if you said that you never had thoughts anymore. Mm. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
No, I mean, born into sin, shaped into iniquity, yes. Bro. That's
and the
how
Bible
we
tells
made.
Us we're supposed to cast down those thoughts. Mm-hmm. And take them captive and make them subject to Christ. So just remember where God brought you from and remember the work that he's still doing in you. Sanctification is a process. The Bible says we're supposed to crucify the flesh. People don't know that crucifixion was a process. Mm-hmm. So when people were crucified, it was a long, and then died instantly. Exactly.
Yep, that's fact.
So your flesh is being crucified. Your sanctification is a process. So God is still doing a work in you through the Holy Spirit. And just how he's still doing a work in you today, he's still doing a work in other people like that too. So don't forget that. So don't forget where God brought you from and don't forget what he's doing in your life. And bro, there's this verse that just came to my head and I'm going to butcher it. It's basically saying that the same way you pass judgment on others, God is going to judge you the same way. So remember that. Remember that the same way you judge others, God is going to judge you the same way, that same standard. So you better make sure that the judgment and the standard you pass to other people, you better make sure you can live up to that. And just fall in love with Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people who are very judgmental just have gone through things in life, have gone through some traumas where that have hurt them. And you're always trying to prove a point. But just get in the presence of the Lord and he'll lavish you in his love. He's the God that lavishes his love on us. And when you really experience the love of Jesus, then you'll be able to give that to other people, because a lot of you guys are projecting your hurts on other people. You're projecting your pain on other people. But if you get in the presence of the Lord and experience his love, then you'll be able to project his love. When people see us, they should see him. When they hear us, they should hear him. So we don't want to project hate, hurt, and burden on other people when God is projecting love on them. God says, take my burden, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you guys are putting heavy burdens on people.
Wow.
So you need to be careful. I'm done, bro, because I could keep going.
Yeah, that's going to be the end of episode 1. We'll see y'all in episode 2. Peace.